Look at your neighbor and say, I'm in the right place. Because here are 10 ways of knowing you've joined the wrong church. All right? Number 10, the pastor refers to God only as Jehovah and constantly exhorts the congregation to witness. New members are required to submit W-2s for the last 10 years. You're in the wrong church if that happens. The pastor regularly attends meetings at Las Vegas and Atlantic City. I've never been to either. The media refers to the church facilities as a compound. You know you're in the wrong place. If you discover the church refers to the Ten Commandments as the Ten Suggestions, you're in the wrong place. The women's quartet are all married to the pastor. You know you're in the wrong place. The pastor preaches an eloquent sermon on ancient heresies, and the elders want to make them part of the new members' kit or the doctrinal statement. And then the new members' kit includes a Bible, church bylaws, and an Uzi. You know you're in the wrong place. Amen. Say, I'm hungry for God's word. You're here. God brought you here because this is a place where the word of God is honored and glorified, and we welcome the Holy Spirit with all of his gifts, all of his power, all of his manifestations and demonstrations. And we need both, amen? We need the Word and the Spirit. Both are necessary. If you just have all Word, you blow up. I forgot how that goes. But you need both to grow up, amen? If you have your Bibles this morning, I'd like you to turn to the book of Acts, chapter 1, okay? I want you to watch a video here of the person who's going to come and do our concert. This is just a little video that he sent.
What would you attempt to do if you knew you couldn't fail? How big would you dare to dream if you knew your dream could come true? I want you to know God's word never fails. When you launch out according to his word, you will not fail either because he always causes you to triumph. I want to encourage you, think big, dream big, because all things are possible.
He is a musician, an author, and teacher of the word.
Faith does not keep storms from coming, but faith, grounded upon the rock, will keep you standing when that storm is over with.
The ministry of Terry Tripp spans 3 decades. At age 3, he began traveling full-time with his dad, mom, and older brother. They made up the Laverne Tripp family. At the age of 5, Terry joined his family every week over National Christian Television, reaching millions of people.
I love music, I love praise and worship, but what I love the most is to open the Word and make a rich deposit into someone's life. God's Word is living, and when it gets inside of you, it brings life.
Today, Terry is noted as one of the most gifted speakers to this generation. He comes with the message of faith, showing that through God's Word, you can rise above your circumstances and live victorious.
How many have been blessed by the guests that we've had? If you've been here for a while, you've been able to experience some of the different guests. God sends us good quality people, amen? And you guys do an excellent job of taking care of them, and I want to thank you for that. We have been able to bless ministries for a long time, and we're going to continue to do so. Amen? All right, let's get in the Word this morning. Acts chapter 1, beginning with verse 2, it says, until the day when he ascended, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had instructed and commanded the apostles, or the special messengers whom he had chosen. To them also he showed himself alive after his passion, or his suffering in the garden and on the cross, by a series of many convincing demonstrations or unquestionable evidences and infallible proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and talking to them about the kingdom of God. Say, the kingdom of God. So just imagine this for a moment. Jesus, he died on the cross, was buried, rose again on the third day, and for 40 days he was appearing to individuals, to groups, in a variety of places. The most he appeared to was about 500 people at one time. And he appeared to these different people, and what he was doing was he was talking to them about things pertaining to the kingdom. And we're in the month of May, and the theme for our month is on the road to Pentecost. Because May 31st, this month will end, celebrating the day of Pentecost. That was the day when God chose to pour out his Spirit on all flesh so that his sons and his daughters would prophesy. Amen? And it was the day of Pentecost, or the Feast of Weeks, or the Feast of Harvest, that he chose to manifest the Holy Spirit on everybody so that now any believer can benefit from the work of the Holy Spirit. But one of the things that Jesus began to do is he began to show us some things, to tell us some things about the kingdom. Did you know that we're in a kingdom? Amen? And I'm going to say this, in God's kingdom there is no separation of church and state. Matter of fact, he set up his kingdom, the government within his kingdom is called the church. And the church is made up of the called out ones, the ecclesia. You've been called out of darkness and you've been called into light. Hallelujah. You don't have to be in the dark anymore because the light has shone in the world. If you're in the darkness, you're in the right place because we got a bright light. Just come on in the light. It's a lot better in the light. Amen? And so I want to just share some, touch on some things about the kingdom, and go with me to John chapter 3. You know, Jesus said some things about the kingdom, and, you know, I can't go into a great deal about the kingdom because that would take for a long time. So we're just going to touch on a few things about the kingdom. And John chapter 3 and verse 5, I want you to look at that. Because what I want to really get into today is what type of person should be in the kingdom. And that is an overcomer. And I want to talk about some overcoming things in just a moment. John chapter 3 and verse 5, the Bible says this. Jesus was answering Nicodemus, and Jesus answered, "I assure you, most solemnly I tell you, unless a man is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." So how does one get into the kingdom? It requires you to be born, or to be born again, or to have a new birth. People get birthed into the kingdom. They get adopted into the kingdom. Amen? Because you know, adoption is just like birth minus the pain. You know that? You know, I'm an adopted Jew. I work for a rich Jew. He takes care of my salary. His retirement plan is out of this world. Amen? His health plan is called, "By His Stripes, I'm Healed." That's a good health plan. But he takes care of me like his own son because I'm a joint heir. Did you know that being a joint heir, I have the same rights and privileges as Jesus? Think about that for a minute. So Jesus was telling Nicodemus, unless a man be born of water and the Spirit, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So entering the kingdom of God is being birthed or adopted. So we can... He goes on in verse 6, he says, "What is born from the flesh is flesh," or of the physical, "and what is born of the Spirit is spirit." And you know, Nicodemus was surprised. He said, "Well, how can a man go back into his mother's womb?" He wasn't talking about a physical birth, he was talking about a spiritual birth. Amen? When a person gets born again, when they accept Jesus Christ as Lord, there's no other way. You can't be born again by good works. You can't be born again by being part of the right group. You must be born again by confessing Jesus is Lord, by believing He's God's Son, He died on the cross, and He rose for you, and that makes you born again. It's not by works, it's by faith, through grace. Amen? So, in order to get into the kingdom, you got to be born in it. Go with me to Matthew chapter 3. These are probably some of the things that Jesus emphasized when He was risen. Why do you think He was emphasizing things about the kingdom? Because He wants you to reign on earth. He wants you to reign victorious. He wants you to become more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. And in order to do that, you've got to apply the principles of the kingdom to do that. How many has ever gotten onto a job for the first time and you didn't know how to do it or what to do, right? So what do? They have a training period. Maybe they put you with someone. They train you. They teach you how to do the job. Well, see, we're still in training, amen? We're training for reigning. God wants you to reign. Who are the kings that He's king of? If He's king of kings, then who are the kings that He's king of? That's you and I. We're a nation of kings and priests. You're a royal priesthood. Did you know that? A royal priesthood, king and priest. Matthew chapter 3, verse 2. And I'm reading from the Amplified. And John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness and saying, repent, think differently, change your mind, regretting your sins and change your conduct, for the kingdom of heaven is where? At hand. Did you know that the kingdom of heaven is close? It's at your fingertips. It's right here. Where's the kingdom? The kingdom is wherever Jesus is. Because without a king, there's no kingdom, right? Without a king, you have a dumb. So, wherever Jesus is, that's where the kingdom. John the Baptist said, the kingdom of God is at hand. You have access to the kingdom right now. It's not somewhere in the future, but it's right here, right now. And when you come in contact with the kingdom, guess what? Something's got to give. And it's not going to be the kingdom. It's going to be you. The walking and possessing and conquering in the kingdom is going to require you to change. Say change. Say, I love change. Say it one more time like you mean it. Say, I love change. Because God just likes giving us an upgrade of things. So the kingdom of God is at hand. It's near. It's close. It's not far away. Amen? It's right here. Go with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 12. We're called, it says, to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into His own kingdom and the glorious blessedness into which true believers will enter after Christ's return. What do you think is going to happen when Christ returns? Who's going to rule nations when Christ returns? You and I are going to help in that. Amen? And I'm going to show you that, but I can't get ahead of myself. Got to keep you guessing. So, did you know that we're called into the kingdom? We're called. He's got a special calling, an invitation. He's welcoming you. And we're called to live lives worthy of God. Is your life worthy of God? Are you living a life that honors and glorifies and exalts Him? How about your words? Do your words edify and exhort the Lord? Do you think that every word that we say would be pleasing to God? Don't answer that question. But we're called to live lives worthy of God. He gives you a personal invitation to join the kingdom. Everybody is welcome in the kingdom. It's an open invitation. Anybody Do we have any whosoevers? Whosoever will believe shall have eternal life. If anybody can come into the kingdom. But once you come into the kingdom, you got to agree to its principles. Whatever the king says is law. There's no voting in the kingdom. Whatever the king says is law. So you got to do what the king says. Oh, but I want to do what I want to do. Then there's no place for you in the kingdom. Because if you want to do what you want to do, you're the king of your own kingdom. You're not the king of God's kingdom. Jesus is the king of God's kingdom. And you got to do things his way. The Pharisees were the religious leaders of Jesus' day, and they had no clue about the kingdom. They couldn't even recognize the king that was standing before them. They had no idea. Religion, the kingdom is not about religion. But it's about knowing him. It's about relationship. And there is a special call for you to come into this kingdom. The king himself has invited you. He knows you. He created you. He made you. And he's made every provision possible for you to be more than a conqueror through him in this kingdom. So we got to live lives worthy of God. That's why we got to eliminate some junk in our lives. Every one of us has picked up some junk in this world. Just by being in this world, you cannot go a day without having to wash your hands at least once. So, but thank God that God has made it possible to cleanse us by his blood. Go with me to Matthew chapter 6. See, now in the kingdom, there is a shift in your priorities. Say a priority. What's a priority? It's something that is important to do. All right? What is the number one priority in the kingdom? Look at verse 33. He says this, but seek, aim at, strive after, first, say first. First of all, his kingdom and his righteousness. What's your goal in life? Is your goal in life to be rich? Nothing wrong with being rich, but your first goal should be to seek first the kingdom. Everything about the kingdom revolves around Jesus, his word, his Holy Spirit, his blood, his righteousness, his holiness, his character, his love, the spiritual fruit. That's all kingdom, right? What priority should the kingdom have? Hold up your index finger. All right? First. Well, I'll seek the kingdom when I get to it. No. Your priorities are out of line. No wonder why people struggle. Because notice what he said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and what? All these things shall be what? Added to you. See, the world turns it around. They go after the things and then try to add the kingdom to the things, but we should go after the king and then the things will come. We've turned it around. Go after the king. Seek the king like a deer pants after the water. You got to seek Jesus. If you seek him, you'll find him if you seek with all your heart. But you got to do it first. What's your first response when trouble comes? Who do you call first? Do you tell your friend? Do you tell your neighbor? Do you tell your family? Who do you call first? See, we ought to get in the habit of letting our first response be to God. Then we can tell other people, but let's tell God first. When you get a paycheck, what's your first thought about that paycheck? What are you going to buy with it? What bill you have? Or what comes first? The kingdom. Do you think about your tithe first? Every money that comes into our house, instantly we go, okay, what's my tithe? If someone gives us $20, I know my tithe is $2, but we always give more than 10%. What's your first thought when any increase comes into your hand? Is it about the kingdom or is it about yourself? Ooh, it's quiet in here. Did he not? Who's talking here? The king is talking. He is issuing a decree. And he is telling us to seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. Say all. There's a lot of righteousness in the book, isn't there? I don't think that we're walking in all the righteousness that we could be. There's more. But he said, we got to seek it first. So the kingdom of God has to be our highest priority. You know, Jesus told, we can't even let, Fiona cannot come before, she cannot be higher priority than the Lord. How can you say that about my wife? Because let me tell you, if I put God first, I'll take care of her. It's when we get things out of order that things get messed up. And then we need a turnaround. Because things happen. When we don't seek first the kingdom of God, whatever we're seeking first then has place. It has right to rule in your life. Is God opposed to you having things? No, not at all. Look at Solomon. He had so much nice stuff that when Sheba visited, she passed out. Oh my gosh, she couldn't even take how well his servants were dressed. She got weak in the knees. Who gave all that stuff? It was God. God doesn't mind you having stuff as long as the stuff doesn't have you. You can have all the stuff you want as long as when the Lord says, okay, I want you to take this stuff and put it over here, you got to be willing and obedient to do it. Moving right along. Everybody smile. Look at verse 10. He was sharing with his disciples about some principles to pray. And he said, pray that your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Is there any rebellion in heaven now? No, because the rebellious ones were kicked out. God doesn't tolerate strife at all. He has zero tolerance for strife. When Satan tried to exalt himself, he lost. He lost his position. He lost his anointing. He got kicked out, and now he's sucking dirt. He became a vacuum cleaner, a dirt devil. There is no rebellion in heaven. So what is God's will in heaven? Are there any sorrowful people in heaven? No, he wants that will done on earth. Is there any sick people in heaven? No, healing is his will. He wants his will done on this earth. Do you think that people are in heaven walking around with heavy burdens? Woe is me. Oh, whoo. Boy, this robes of righteousness, man. No, there's none of that. In heaven, there's no darkness. There's no tears. But God wants that done on earth. So you got to pray that his will be done. Pray for his kingdom to come. What does that mean? For his kingdom to manifest in your life. Pray that you have the benefits and the promises of the kingdom of God. Think about this. His last 40 days on earth, he spent talking about the principles of the kingdom. Now, usually your last message is your most important one, right? And he gave us his Holy Spirit to show us, to give us further knowledge and revelation about the kingdom. He's come to bring you into all truth. So he didn't just give us this principle, but he gave someone to help you. All right? And we're going to get to Pentecost. Pentecost is coming at the end of the month, and really I'm trying to hold back because I'm excited about Pentecost. I'm a Pentecostal. What does that mean? I speak in tongues. What does that mean? I speak in other languages. I didn't learn them, I didn't study them, but the Holy Spirit empowers me to do it. It's in the Bible, read it, it's in Acts. We'll get there. Not today, though. What is the kingdom made up? Go with me to Romans chapter 14. This is good stuff. I'm getting excited. The kingdom of God, look at verse 17. The kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but what is it? What makes up the kingdom? What are some qualities of the kingdom that you might see? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Woo, man. King's kids don't walk around looking down with a frown on their face. Righteousness, peace, and joy make up the kingdom. Say joy. If you need some joy, you can go to the grocery store and go to the dishwashing aisle and buy some joy. It cleans your plates, puts a shine on them. Well, joy does the same thing to your face. It cleans up your face. It puts a smile on your face. It makes you bubble. We need some more bubbling over Christians. Amen? The kingdom of God is not meat or drink. The kingdom of God is not the external, but it's internal. Jesus even told some people, he said, the kingdom of God is within you. Your ability to operate in kingdom principles, you're already equipped to operate in kingdom principles. Well, how come I'm not operating in kingdom principles? Because you've got to choose to do so. Sometimes there's a struggle. Me, myself, and I want to gang up on God, Jesus, and the Holy Ghost. And there's a struggle, you know, between me, myself, and I, and the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Well, what tips the scales when you choose to do it His way? And you put me, myself, and I on the shelf, and you go with the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and that'll tip the scales, and it'll cause you to have success. Righteousness, peace, and joy. Those are characteristics of the kingdom. That's what it consists of. The ingredients to the kingdom are righteousness, peace, and joy. Take a third cup of righteousness, a third cup of peace, and a third cup of joy, and you got a kingdom cake. Woo, and that cake tastes good. You know, when Elijah ate a kingdom cake, it was angel food cake because the angels made it. He ran for 40 days on that cake. Boy, I tell you what, when you allow the kingdom to infiltrate your life, infiltrate your finances, infiltrate your marriage, whoo, boy, I tell you, you will add new wine. You'll take that old stinky wine, that sour, and He'll give you fresh wine, just like He did at the wedding. He transformed that water into wine. You want to transform your water living into new wine living? I don't know, wine is more intoxicating than water. I could drink water all day and it doesn't slur my speech, but if I drink wine, ooh, that wine begins to take over. That's what God wants to do. He wants the kingdom to take over within you. He wants you to start operating in kingdom principles. Jesus had a 40-day seminar before He ascended into heaven and sat on the throne, and the title was the Kingdom of God Conference. And He was going around to different groups, different believers, and He was sharing things about the kingdom. He was giving revelation, insight, understanding. Why? So that they could operate in it. God wants you to operate in the kingdom. He's giving you a license. And it doesn't expire to operate in the kingdom. Say, I'm a king's kid. Say, I'm a king's kid. Say, I'm royalty. Go with me to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. Whew, I'm having a good time. Look at verse 15. Well, go back to verse 14. It says, now after John was arrested and put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the good news of the gospel of the kingdom of God. You know what newspaper is in the kingdom? The Good News Gazette. There's no negative news that comes from HBC, Heaven's Broadcasting Channel. It's all good news. And saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. That means to change. And believe the good news of the gospel. You know, one time, John was struggling a little bit when he was put in prison. He began to doubt. And he said, are you the one whom God promised to send, or should we look for another? And Jesus gave John an interesting answer. He said, go tell John, the blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, the maimed are able to speak. In other words, those are things that occur in the kingdom of God. All right? So if you begin to doubt, just look at where the work of the kingdom is taking place. But Jesus came to teach us the kingdom. He came to show us the kingdom. He was the perfect example of how someone lives in the kingdom. He didn't get stressed out. He didn't have a bad hair day. He didn't wake up on the wrong side of the bed. Even when 5,000 plus people showed up for dinner. What do you have? Oh, I got a couple of fish. Let's have ourselves a fish dinner, fish and chips. Jesus thanked God. See, he activated the kingdom. And when he activated the kingdom, miracles took place. Things were changed. Whenever he had a need, he called on the King of Kings. He called on the King, and the King supplied his need. The King didn't leave him without. The King was right there helping him. When he needed money to pay his taxes, he said, go catch a fish. When he needed a way out of stress, when people wanted to kill him. You ever been so stressed out that people want to kill you? Literally? Jesus just walked away because he was walking in that peace of the kingdom. And he wasn't going to have his life taken until he laid it down. Jesus said also, he said, this kingdom is not of this world. Hey, guess what? This kingdom is not like, it's not based on anything of this earth. So if you're trying to do God's things the world's way, you're going to miss the mark. God's kingdom doesn't operate like this world does. This world says, keep all you can. But God's word says, give, and it shall be given unto you. That doesn't make sense to the world. All those preachers want is just your money. Really? How about the electric company? How about the phone company? How about the cable company? Are they in it just to provide you service? Just don't pay your bill for a month and see what happens. But yet, when you give into the kingdom, when you have a mentality of the kingdom and you sow into the kingdom, you're giving directly to the King. And he will give it back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken. Has the electric company ever sent you a thank you for using their service? Not that I know of. They send you a bill. And when you don't pay that bill, they'll send you a notice. Your service will be cut off in so many days. The electric company says, how can we help? How can we make it better? How can we work together, huh? No, they don't do that. What I'm trying to tell you is the kingdom operates differently than the world. And that's why we have to change in order to operate in the kingdom. You can't apply the world's principles to kingdom principles. Kingdom principles always trump what's in the world. Okay? Now there's a both. There's a present kingdom and there's a future kingdom. God's kingdom is not here in its fullness yet. When Jesus returns again and he locks up Satan, he gives him his retirement slip at the lake, And he's going to rule and reign, and for ages to come, he's going to show us how good he is. It's going to take ages to show us. It's going to take a glorified body and ages just to know how good God is to us. Yeah, you read in Ephesians, in the ages to come, he'll show us how good he is. Man, we serve a good king. So what type of person does the kingdom have in it? Go with me to the book of Revelation, chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. It's a funny thing. These ministers were getting together to pray every morning for 91 days. They've been praying at 6 o'clock in the morning. I went there yesterday. And I prayed, man, it was powerful. Woo, there's some shaking going on. You know, there's a dear brother. I was supposed to meet him. We were supposed to meet with him and his wife, but that was when I had an unscheduled meeting with a van. You know, we were supposed to meet with them when I got hit with the van, and then we kind of lost contact. But he's a brother from South Africa, went to Rhema, South Africa. And we prayed at his church yesterday. They pray in different locations. And he was reading some of these scriptures about what I'm about to read to you, about what type of person is in the kingdom. And the Lord was just speaking to me then, and I feel like this is what I need to emphasize today. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 7. You know who he's speaking to here? He's speaking to the churches, to the government of the kingdom. See, the world wants to separate church and state, but that's not God's desire. David was a king, but he also wore the priest's robe. Those who live in the kingdom of God are overcomers, are conquerors, are victorious, are people who face challenges and subdue them. They conquer them. They win. That's the type of mentality that God has called us to have in the kingdom of God. Say, I'm a conqueror. Say, I'm victorious. Say, I'm a champion. Say, I'm a winner. You are all that. That's the kind of mentality that God wants in the kingdom. Revelation chapter 2, verse 7, he just got done sharing with this church, and he says this, "He who is able to hear, let him listen to and give heed to what the Spirit says to the assemblies or the churches. To him who overcomes, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God." First of all, he said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Did you know that a lot of people have ears, but they're not listening? God plants people in the church, and they don't listen by not being there. See, now you guys are good listeners because you're here. Amen? Did you know that the Spirit of God is always speaking? But it requires us to have ears to hear what he's saying. Proverbs 4 says we should attend to his word. We should incline our ear to his saying. We should listen to what the Spirit of God is saying. You know, I'm preaching a message, but the Holy Spirit may be speaking something to you different than what this message is, because that's what you need at the moment. See, I'm working in conjunction with the Holy Spirit. I ask the Lord every time. Every Sunday, every Wednesday, every sermon I preach, I say, Lord, what do you want to say to the people today? That's my heart. I don't want you to put your faith in me. Dear God, do not put your faith in me. Put your faith in God. I'm just a middleman. But you got to have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. Maybe your ears are clogged because you're listening to the world more than you're listening to God. Oh, now you're telling on him. Yeah. You better be careful what voices you're listening to. Because you know what? The devil works hard to lead you astray. And he appears as a friend, an angel of light sometimes. And he'll put something in your ear. But his goal is to lead you astray. He doesn't want you to get into the truth. He will fight you tooth and nail from getting the truth. And once you get the truth, he'll try to steal it from you. That's the nature of the devil. He's perverted with anything that associated with God. And so having ears to hear means your attention is arrested. It means that what was said had special importance. It means that every intelligent person should listen carefully to what the Holy Spirit is saying. He's speaking to the churches. Say he's speaking to me. Because you're the church. This building is not the church. This building is where the church meets. But you are the church. What's he saying to the church? What is the Spirit saying? It's your job to listen. Poke your neighbor in the side and say, now what did he say? Go with me to Isaiah chapter 50 for a second. Hold your place in Revelation and go to Isaiah 50. This is awesome. Isaiah chapter 50. Verse 4. The servant of God says, the Lord God has given me the tongue of the disciple and of one who is taught that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He wakens me morning by morning. He wakens my ear to hear as a disciple, as one who is taught. The Lord God has opened my ear and I have not been rebellious or turned backward. Not only does he want you to hear, but he gives you the ability to hear. He opens your ears. He puts it right before you. He makes it as simple as he can. He breaks it down. He's got the Holy Spirit that's working in conjunction with the words that are being said. But the only variable in all that equation is whether or not you're listening. How do we know that you're listening? Because you respond in your behavior. Your behavior shows me what you believe. People who don't believe in the importance of church, it shows. People who don't believe in the importance of giving and tithing, it shows. Wow, you could hear a pin drop. Is this heavy? I mean, you all right with this? It's going to get better. Listen, I'm talking to you about how to be an overcomer in the kingdom. I'm talking to you about taking the kingdom principles and using them to overcome, to subdue, to conquer, to be victorious, because that's what God has called us to. It's time for the church to not take the back seat, but to take the front seat. Not the back row, but the front row. It's time for the church to take the forefront. We ought to have lobbyists in Congress that are born again, spirit-filled Christians. The church ought to send lobbyists to Congress. How about that? You know what? We can lobby Congress through prayer. Oh, come on now. You missed that. Every one of us can lobby Congress through prayer. Yeah, because God holds the hearts of kings in his hand. So he says, those who have ears to hear, let them hear what the Spirit is saying. And he said, when you overcome, you'll get to eat the tree of the life. You'll get to eat eternal life. You'll get to partake of that eternal life. When does eternal life begin? When you die? No. It begins when you accept Jesus Christ as Lord. You've got life working in you. But thank God, he gives him, and those who overcome, they gain the victory. They conquer. They rise above the challenge. Every one of us are facing challenges. But what are you going to do? Are you going to let that challenge overcome you? Or are you going to overcome that challenge? That difficulty? Sometimes we just need to overcome the flesh. If you don't believe me, give your flesh an inch and see if it wants more. Let your flesh just do whatever it wants to do and see what happens. It'll be chaos. Can you imagine an Olympic athlete just letting their flesh, oh, I don't feel like getting up at 4 o'clock today to work out. I don't think so. How'd you like an engineer not to have a desire to study? Oh, I'm not going to study today. I know that stuff. I don't want any doctor on me that didn't study. I don't want any doctor working on me that didn't study. Amen. So you overcome sins, you overcome temptation, you overcome error. You know what keeps a person in error? Pride. Not willing to be taught. Unteachable. That's a bad place to be. If someone is unteachable, they're not listening to what the Spirit is saying. They think they know it all. Well, if you know it all, you just go ahead and, how come you're in the situation that you're in if you know it all? My goodness, Father, help me with this. And you overcome the trials of life. Recently, in this congregation, I'm going to use someone as an example. Herb, if you don't mind if I use you as an example. He had stage four cancer. As you can see, he overcame it. Just recently, he ran a 10-mile marathon and finished. Hallelujah. He's an overcomer. He purposed in his heart that he was not going to let anything keep him down. He remained fighting, he remained standing, and here he is today. Hallelujah. And hallelujah. There's oh, Father, in Jesus, greater victories shall you see. Greater goals shall you achieve. This is just the beginning of a new and fresh anointing. Father, right now, we just release that new and fresh anointing to him right now. Lord, empower him for greater things. Oh, yeah, you're going to see a greater glory of God. You're going to see a greater goodness of his hand. You're going to see greater revelation and greater insight. And there's going to be a greater anointing on your life. Father, let it be so. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah! He's more than a conqueror. He did not let the things, the trials that he faced in life bring him down, but he found a way through the kingdom principles to rise above and to become a conqueror. He's an overcomer. Hallelujah! Cancer may have gotten in a blow, but he got the last knockdown. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, when you overcome, you're going to get to eat the tree of life. Go to verse 11. Verse 11. He that has an, you know, isn't it funny how every time he mentions overcoming, it's connected with listening? Yeah. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. He that overcomes shall not be hurt of the second death. You know, I like, he gives you how to overcome. It's through listening and then doing what you hear, but then he always gives a reward for overcoming. There's always a reward associated. When David came to the battlefield, he had a cart full of bread and cheese. He wasn't there to fight a battle. He was giving some bread and cheese to his brothers who were soldiers. His father said, take this to your brothers at the battlefield. He gave them some supplies. You know, it's always good for a soldier to get something from home. And there, Jesse sent a care package to his sons. And there's David taking this cart. And he gets on that battlefield and he hears that giant making fun of God. He didn't think about it, making fun of it. He said, that's making fun of God. See, he had a kingdom mentality. He says, I'm not going to put up with people talking about my God like that. Then he goes to Saul. He said, he asked some people, what's a man going to get if he kills this giant? See, he's always interested about the reward. And they said, oh, you're going to not have to pay taxes. You're going to get to marry the king's daughter, and you're going to get a lot of land, so you're going to be rich and famous. Hallelujah. He's going to meet Robin Leach. Lifestyles of the rich and famous. David found out a cause that was greater than himself to get involved in the battle. It was a cause against the kingdom. It was a mark against the king. And David said, I'll take that cause on. Because if I stand up for the king, he'll stand up for me. So there, David, he faced that giant. There was a verbal exchange. Not going to go into it. But David won with words before he ever won with a sword and a slingshot. What do you think David heard? probably inside of David was saying, go take that guy on. Come on, you can do it. Go take him on. Come on. I'll be with you. Take him on. David said, okay, I'm going. Something on the inside of David, he was listening to what the Spirit said at that moment. Every other soldier was deaf. The whole army of Saul was deaf. They did nothing for 40 days. Took a little boy to operate. You can operate in the kingdom any age. There's no age limit for operating in the kingdom. There's no height requirement. Amen? You know, like when you go to Hershey Park, you know, there's certain rides that if you're too little, you can't ride on. There's no height requirement. There's no age requirement. Man, John the Baptist got excited in the womb. He said, that's my Jesus. That's the Lamb of God. He started kicking the womb. Moses didn't get started until he was 80. So that, I think that about covers it, huh? So he that overcomes shall not be hurt of the second death. It's not going to harm you. Not going to hurt you. In other words, he's saying you're not going to go to hell. Isn't that good? How do you overcome hell? You accept Jesus Christ as Lord and you start living a life that's worthy of him. All right, let's go to verse 17. He's talking to people that make up the kingdom of God. They're called overcomers. The Bible says in Revelation 12:11, it says, I have overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of my testimony. Verse 17 of Revelation chapter 2. He that has an ear, or he who is able to hear, let him listen to and heed what the Spirit says to the assemblies of the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat the manna that is hidden, and I will give him a white stone with a new name engraved on that stone, which no one knows or understands except he who receives it. You will get a reward. You'll get to eat the hidden manna. The secret things of God. You'll get insight, revelation that no one else will get because you're an overcomer, because you're a listener, because you act on the Word of God. And He'll give you a stone with a new name on it that no one knows but you. It's your own special token of your relationship with Him. You know, remember the priest's breastplate had stones, 12 stones represented the 12 tribes of Israel. He had a stone in his crown. Represented light, they reflect light. God's going to give you a stone with a new name on it. That means a special way of identifying you to Him. You know, when someone wants to honor someone else, they engrave something, either on a plaque or on a ring or something like that. And that's what Jesus does. He's going to honor your relationship by engraving something special that only Him and you share. That's called intimacy. But who is that for? It's for the overcomers. It's not for the shoulda, woulda, coulda. I shoulda, woulda, coulda. Yeah, but you didn't, so be quiet. Yeah. You don't want to stand before the Lord and say, I shoulda, woulda, coulda. That's not going to fly. You better make up your mind to do it now. Now, today is the day of salvation. Now you have the opportunity to take the kingdom and apply it to your life. You have to conform to the kingdom. The kingdom doesn't have to conform to you. The kingdom is at a higher standard. See? And you've got to make the changes necessary right now, today. You got to change every day, actually. Man, it's a battle keeping this flesh under. I remember reading a quote somewhere. I don't even know where it was from. It said, it was a tough fight, but the old man had to die. You ever feel like you're in a tough fight with the old man? Sometimes it's a struggle. Sometimes, you know, that old man wants to rise up. It wants to react. It wants to speak. It wants to lash out. But you have authority over the old man. You don't have... The old man has to obey what you tell it to. Not the other way around. So overcomers are going to get to, they're going to have the hidden manna and a new name. Verse 26. And he that overcomes and keeps my works to the end, To him I will give power over the nations. Hallelujah. Say, I've got power over the nations. But that's to those who overcome, who endure. You know, the kingdom of God is not made up of wimps. You can't wimp out. You know, I always remember the guy from Popeye. His name was Wimpy. And he said, I'll gladly have a hamburger today and pay you on Tuesday. He was always eating hamburgers everywhere. But you know what? He never got called on to fight Bluto because he wimped out. He would rather please the flesh than to please God. That's a wimp. Yeah, I said it. People who please the flesh above God are wimps. It takes a strong person to put God first in all things, to keep down the flesh, and to pursue the things of God, to strive after the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It's not easy. You got the devil fighting you. You got your feelings and emotions fighting with you sometimes. They're in disagreement with what you believe sometimes. You got other people, you know, that want to put their trash in your backyard, so to speak, with their words. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, I mean, you got all these things. You got the devil running around with the naked madman, and any time that you make any progress, he wants to stop you. He wants to put a roadblock because he doesn't want to see you get into the truth, because he knows what the truth will do to you if you get a hold of it. Why do you think he fights so hard for you getting the truth? Why do you think he fights so hard from people coming to where they need to be? We're in a warfare. It's a battle. It's not for the faint-hearted. It's not for the weak. God gives you his strength. He gives you his armor, his word, his blood, his Holy Ghost. He gives you everything you need to overcome. But the choice to overcome is you. You've got to take what you've been given and put it to use. Now David, he couldn't fit in Saul's armor. And that's okay, because he used what he knew. He used the weapons that he had tried out. Not every one of us will use the same weapon with the same amount of skill. But use the weapon that you've tried and do that. Amen? So you're going to have power over the nations. That is, if you overcome. Let me tell you something. Overcoming is worth it. God has good rewards. Just hang in there. You might feel the pressure of life. You might feel the things about to boil over. Just hang in there. Keep standing. Keep praying. Get more intense. Kick up the fight. You know, bear down. Hunker down. Say, I'm not going to move. I'm standing. I'm standing. Cry out to God. He'll help you. He's a very present help in trouble. But we're coming into an hour when things are going to be increased. We have not seen the results of the decisions that were made over this country yet. But we're about to. So the church, this is an opportunity for the church to be examples of overcomers. Look, this is an end time battle, and it's about souls, because there's going to be a great harvest coming to this earth. This earth is going to be shaken. Every curtain that has held the gospel up is going to be busted down. And we're going to see a great influx of souls coming into the kingdom so that Jesus can come back. And I'll tell you what, the enemy will fight you tooth and nail when you make a purpose in your heart that you're going to start ministering to souls. You're going to start going after souls. Start witnessing. Just verbalize the fact that you want to witness, and the devil will show up. But you know what? So will Jesus too. And he is greater in you. He was in you is greater than he was in the world. Let me tell you something. You've got authority over the devil. You can tell him to shut up. You can tell him to sit down. You can tell him to go, and he has to obey you. You are a king's kid, and it's time that you take your place and get ready to reign. You know, before a prince gets the throne, he has to go through training. Some of us are still in boot camp, learning the basics. Some of us need to graduate from boot camp and get into the advanced courses. He talks about seven things in Revelation to every church. Seven is the number of completeness. All the way into chapter 3 to verse 28, he talks about overcoming and what you get if you overcome. Jesus said to his disciples, he said, "Beloved, in this world you will have trouble. You will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Because you know what type of church the Lord's coming back for? He's not coming back for a chaotic church that don't know who they are in Christ, but he's coming back from a glorious church. You know how he makes his church glorious? He equates it to the marriage relationship. And he talks about the head or the man washing his wife with the water of the word. Jesus constantly washes us with the water of the word. And in that washing, it renews our mind. It gives us the tools that we need to change. But in doing so, as you get washed with the word, he says he will present you as a glorious church, one without spot or wrinkle. So sometimes he's got to apply the heat to get out the spots and the wrinkles. Amen? Why don't you stand up with me? Maybe you're here today and you're facing some challenges in life. Well, I believe that there's an anointing here to help you overcome. Amen? Brittany is an overcomer. Brittany, she's an overcomer. She overcame a great test and a trial. And now you can look back and you say, look what the Lord has done. He's got greater things in store for you too. Greater things. Not just even in the natural, but in the spiritual. He's going to cause you to defeat every opponent that you face. You're a winner on the playing field. You're going to be a winner in his kingdom too. Today is a day that you make a decision that you're going to overcome. Jesus taught us, he said, overcome evil with good. We have weapons that tear down strongholds. So maybe you have been shaken in your life with troubles, trials, and tests. Maybe you failed some tests. Today is your day to get a victory. Today is your day to get a V in the column, to score the winning touchdown, to score the three-point shot with the last few seconds, to shoot the hockey puck into the net and win God's cup. I want to pray for you. If you're here today and you have fallen by the wayside, you need to pick yourself up. You need to get right with God. Today is your day. Amen? Today is your day to get what you need to overcome the enemy, to break out of the bondage that has held you back in Jesus' name. So, Father, I pray right now that you would release your Holy Spirit, Lord, and for those to whom you're speaking to get things right with you, Father, I want to give them an opportunity by praying with them, Lord, in Jesus' name. And if that's you, I want you to come up here quickly in Jesus' name. Don't delay. Don't delay. You need to overcome some things. Today is the day that the atmosphere shifts on your behalf. Today is the day that you come to yourself and you step up and you be bold about what God has for your life. It's time to take your place in the kingdom and to quit playing around with other things. Don't get distracted with other things. You got to keep your eye on the focus, which is Jesus Christ. You got to look unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of your faith. If that's you, I just need you to come up right now. Hallelujah. And there's an anointing. We're going to break out some things. Glory to God. Give you just a quick opportunity right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Yep, you're going to come up to higher ground. Oh, yes, Lord. thank you right now. Hallelujah. Father, I just thank you right now for Sylvia, Lord. I just thank you, Lord. She might have spent some time in the valley, but Lord, you're bringing her out right now. You're bringing her up to the mountaintop. Lord, just like you've invited Moses to come up and to spend days in your glory, Father, right now, you're bringing her up.